Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This has absolutely nothing to do with James Harden or the Nets or the Houston Rockets or the NBA. It has nothing to do with football either. I just wanted you to know that I tried a brand new version of Dr. Pepper on Wednesday. If you haven't yet tried Dr. Pepper cream soda, it's actually very tasty. It may sound weird, but I thought, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I did the diet version. Diet Dr. Pepper with cream soda. It's very delectable. I would highly recommend it. I had it with my Thai food. Friends and I did Thai food takeout, and we decided we wanted to try a new beverage, and so that was our beverage of choice. But yeah, it was good. We went with that over Cherry Coke Zero or Dr. Pepper. We went Diet Dr. Pepper with cream soda. Producer Dave, I think you should try it and get back to me. I know you do enjoy trying new things, new tastes for your palate. So this is one that I would recommend if you like cream soda, because it definitely does have the cream soda flavor.
I drink and eat pretty much everything on the planet.
There's got to be something you don't drink or eat.
Celery. That's about it.
Well, celery's just water. It's crunchy water. That's all
something
it is.
Something just, I don't like it.
And then it sticks, like the strands stick in your teeth too. So it's,
yeah, it's a weird,
it's
thing.
A waste is
know.
What it is. It's,
yeah,
it's just
it's
a waste.
It's like a nothing thing. But I'm a doctor. What is that? Dr. Brown's cream soda? Is that the
Dr.
Is that the style?
I don't know Dr. Brown's.
That's the one I used to drink growing up.
Okay. Well, then you'll like this.
I'll give it a try.
Okay, cool. Actually, I'll bring you one because I bought a case of it. Diet Dr. Pepper with cream soda. Delicious. And I'm not sure what I was going to do if I didn't like it. I guess then I would start giving it away as gifts. But it's very good. I'm one of those people that only buys soda when it's on a sale. And so there's a grocery store in the nearby town that I go to when I don't feel like going to the super center. And I wait until they have a sale. And they'll do 3 12 packs of soda for $12. Wait. Yes, three 12 packs for $12. So you get them for $4 each. Otherwise you're paying $7 for a 12 pack of soda, which is just way too much money. And so I generally will
not seven.
Definitely not seven. I will generally end up trying to find, so I don't drink regular soda much. When I run, when I'm in training for a half marathon, I'll often have a Dr. Pepper after, but that's only select days. For the most part, I drink the Coke Zeros. And I love vanilla Coke Zero, but I haven't seen it in the stores lately. So it was Cherry Coke Zero, a case of regular Coke Zero, and then this Diet Dr. Pepper with cream soda foray of mine. And then it turned out to be really tasty.
It's time to have some fun.
Woo! We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios, of course, you can't tell. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Now, coming up in 15 minutes, you will hear Jay Barker, I promise. He's a former University of Alabama quarterback who not only was an All-American and a national champ, but he was inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of of Fame just a few years ago. His son played on this year's Crimson Tide team that just won the championship in Miami, and he was there as a proud dad, but also as an alum. And so after traveling back from Miami, I want you to hear what he had to say about the game and about being a dad versus being a player on the team. And so Jay Barker from Birmingham coming up next. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We've also got a little bit of NFL news. The first we've heard from Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace in Chicago after they keep their jobs. Also the chairman, George McCaskey, and why he's confident that Nagy and Pace can turn things around, but also what they need at the quarterback position, which I think is a fascinating conversation. And we're sort of getting you set up for divisional weekend. Not quite yet. That's tomorrow night's show. We're going all in tomorrow night, and we'll do 4 hours of football free-for-all. It'll be all about divisional weekend, and I can't wait for you guys to share your thoughts, the game that you're most looking forward to. This is always my favorite weekend of the NFL playoffs, and I know there were 6 games last weekend, but we did an extensive conversation and debate about the ratings. By the way, I think some of you may be on to a key point, which is that without all the sports bars having 30 TVs tuned into the playoffs, it certainly was bound to affect the ratings. It's not that the ratings account for the number of eyeballs in each sports bar. They can't count bodies, obviously, but if there are 15 fewer TVs, or there are sports bars around the country that are not open, that certainly does affect the ratings. And then many others of you were really certain that the number of games created some oversaturation and fatigue. And I can understand that. Producer Dave and I watched almost every minute of every game. It's our jobs to do that. We have to know what's happening. But if it's not your job and you're not paid to do it, 20 hours on a couch Saturday and Sunday is a lot to invest. And I can't imagine that there are too many fans out there, maybe a handful of diehards that spent all week. But how do you explain that to your family? I mean, can I tell you something really funny? And then we'll get to your call, Rich, in the Bay Area. My dog was pacing and antsy and staring at me at the exact moment that the Bills and Colts were going through that review over the fumble. Was it Zach Pascal? I think that was. I'll have to look back at my notes, but it was the final 2 minutes or so of the that first game, and the Bills are trying to win their first playoff game since 95, right? And this ball that was initially punched out. Yeah, it was Zach Pascal. And the ball was initially punched out, but he was ruled down by contact, right? And so there's this moment that's hanging in the balance. The Bills, if I remember correctly, the Bills call a timeout. So initially the Colts are trying to snap the ball quickly so that they can get right back to play, and there's no review. It feels like it should have been a review anyway. But the Bills call a timeout. Sean McDermott calls a timeout. They stop play. Then the NFL goes back to look at it and ends up that he had been ruled down by contact, so they let the call stand. But that review, I swear it took 10 minutes. That timeout and review seemed to take forever. That was the exact moment that my dog insisted we go out. I don't know what I would do without a DVR. So I paused it. I stayed off my phone while I was walking Penny. We got back in and I pressed play in order to see it all and didn't know what had happened. But yeah, that's the issue, is that sometimes real life intersects. Kids, dogs, whatever, errands, grocery shopping, things that people need to do in their real lives. So maybe 20 hours of football was a little bit too much. But we will do a full football preview show coming up to wrap the work week. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Rich, thanks for waiting in the Bay Area. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. I haven't talked to you in a long time. Thanks for letting me on.
You're welcome.
I called about the Harden trade. My only thing that I haven't heard too much of is that I don't think he's ever been anything but a number one, just because he refuses to. I mean, with Westbrook, when he was here with Steph, it would have been with Kyrie and with James, with Harden. I mean, at the end of the game, like against LeBron, you saw Steph would defer to him. But because of their personalities, you know, probably like 80-whatever percent of the time, I mean, I'm not even factoring in crazy Kyrie, but I mean, as long as Harden's there, he's going to be bringing it up and controlling it and taking a million shots. And
Rich, can I ask you a question really quick? Yes. Are you referring to Kevin Durant being in the Bay Area? Because you said when he was here with Steph.
Oh, yeah, I was talking about Durant when he was here with Steph. Okay. You saw Steph, it was Steph was the man, except, you know, when they went against LeBron, when they went against one of the big guys, where they really need some shots, you saw all of a sudden Durant was bringing it up. It was crazy. So I think that's what I predict for the Nets. Because Harden, you saw he's so awesome. But at the end, you know, LeBron's swatting his shots. He's choking. He's doing this and that. But now with Durant there, they're going to be deadly. So anyway, that's all I got. And especially if Kyrie, if he's on, is as good as anybody. I mean, maybe that's an obvious statement, but who the heck knows what's going on with him. But anyway, that's all I got. Thanks, Jamie.
All right, Rich. Thanks for listening in the Bay Area. Happy New Year to you. Good to talk to you. Mark on Facebook, Bucks and Celtics are still better. Nets still don't have enough to get to the NBA Finals that will flame out before them. That's interesting. Now, I have no way of predicting how quickly this comes together, if it comes together, but I certainly know that on paper, they've become a very talented team. You know, in the NBA, everybody plays with his BFF. So they certainly have the talent on paper, at least on one end of the court. As one of our callers said earlier, they don't need to play defense if they're up by 30. Yeah, I get it, but you're not always going to be taking on teams that have lesser talent. At some point, you will run into a team that has the same scoring ability that you do and has better defenders all around. And I feel for Steve Nash. I feel for Joe Harris, who just signed a contract to stay in town and is supposed to be a premier shooter. Do you know how many other teams would love to have Joe Harris? And Caris LeVert, I'm happy for him that he got set free to go star and see his star power grow elsewhere, because he's also, I think, a budding superstar. He's become a really good player and just needs a good situation. So I'm just going to read Nancy's post on Facebook verbatim. An entitled rich jerk who got his way, and why Americans in mass are watching fewer games on TV. So that is Nancy's theory. That he's entitled, he's rich, he got his way, and it's causing Americans to tune out. I mean, I'm sure there are some. I mean, she can't be the only one who feels that way. Lester on Facebook, a lot of egos. It will be feast or famine. Oh, poor Steve Nash. I mean, that's literally my first thought when I saw this news breaking on Wednesday. Let's go back to our phones here. Scorpios in Houston, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to weigh in on the Harden trade and just Houston sports in general. Someone described Houston sports to me as a dumpster fire. That is not correct. A dumpster fire is pretty contained and pretty easy to deal with if you got a good enough fire extinguisher. Houston sports is a fully loaded, driverless, burning garbage truck careening off a mountainside.
Harden
is gone. You know, I'm glad that he's gone. I mean, he always showed up for us during the season, but whenever the playoffs came, he just went invisible. He was a clown, made us the laughing stock of the NBA, basically the Cam Newton of it. Well, I shouldn't say that about his gameplay, but, you know, just off the court, just a clown. And what's going on with the Texans? You know, I mean, you got to have more callers tonight, because I'll talk your ear off till 9 o'clock tomorrow morning about
the
Texans.
I am not staying until then, but okay.
And then what's going on with the Astros, you know, and all of that, you know, but, you know, it's just a rough time to be a Houston sports fan right now. And I just wanted to lament.
Well, can I say this, Scorpio? I actually believe that the Rockets are going to be better in terms of their chemistry. And John Wall is clearly, he's playing well. He and Boogie wanted to play together. I don't think they have enough to compete for a title in the West or even for a Western Conference championship, but you never know. Think about what happened when Chris Paul went to Oklahoma City and they were supposed to be in full rebuild mode. They were supposed to be a lottery team and they ended up making the playoffs. So sometimes addition by subtraction is actually better for a team. It's clear that Houston's new coach and the front office did not believe that James Harden and the other guys could get along. When you've got players who are literally coming out and talking about a teammate being disrespectful while he's still on the roster, you know it's bad, especially when it's the face of the franchise. So the Rockets may actually be in a better position, and now they've got some picks that they can move forward with. As for the Texans, I need to wait and see who they hire as their head coach. I still love Deshaun. I understand he's upset. I would be upset too if I were him, going all the way back to when he found out that DeAndre Hopkins was traded on Twitter. I mean, that's brutal. That's just wrong. You don't do that to your star quarterback. But I think that Bill O'Brien being gone and potentially some of the power being taken away from Jack Easterby in the front office. I know he's not thrilled about Nick Caserio. I can understand why, but let's be honest. The head coach is a far more important hire. And so if they get someone that can really work with Deshaun and speaks his language and they get along and they develop a chemistry like, say, Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur in Green Bay, I think he's going to be okay. He, to me, is a character guy. He's a leader. He wants to play football. He loves Houston. I don't believe he'll stay discontented, even if they hire someone he doesn't like. I still don't think Deshaun's the kind of guy who throws a temper tantrum. I think he figures it out because he recognizes how blessed he is to play football. So I honestly don't think the Texans are in as bad a situation, but it does depend on who they hire.
Well, that's why I called you. You have a way of making it not so horrible. So thank you for that.
All right, Scorpio. Have a great day. We'll talk soon. That's good. I feel like if you call me up and you vent, I'm going to give you the silver lining. I'm going to find a silver lining. Except for the Nets and Steve Nash, I've got no silver lining for him. Except this is his opportunity to prove that he can be a head coach in the NBA and potentially get out of there and go somewhere else if he decides that this hasn't ruined the coaching profession for him altogether. All right, coming up, we're going to pivot a little bit. Former Alabama quarterback Jay Barker, who won a championship in 92, was an All-American, is now part of the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. He's got a son who's on the current Tide roster who just won a championship on Monday in Miami. And he has, of course, a great story to tell about being in Miami and supporting his son and also being an alum and someone who's a big fan of the program. So we'll talk to him coming up.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That is it. The final score, Bama 2, Ohio State 24, Alabama does it. 10 regular season SEC wins, an SEC championship, a Rose Bowl championship, and national championship number 18.
I think we're the best team to ever play. I mean, there's no team that will ever play SEC schedule like that again, but at the same time, we're just so happy to have won this game and kind of put the icing on the cake. You know, there was not a lot of pressure. We just wanted to go out there and play the game that we've been playing since we were all 5 years old. So we did that really well.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Mac Jones, championship quarterback for the University of Alabama, as the Tide roll by the Ohio State Buckeyes in Monday's national championship game in Miami. And it was a perfect season. And as Mac points out, it was all in conference until the college football playoff. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The great Eli Gold, who is the voice of Alabama football from Learfield Sports. We are excited to welcome our next guest, Jay Barker, who is a former Alabama quarterback himself, won a national championship in the early 90s, went on to be an All-American, was fifth in the Heisman voting his senior year, and is now in the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. He's also a radio host across the state of Alabama. And Jay, I know you were there in Miami on Monday night. There wasn't a full capacity crowd, but there were a few fans in attendance for this national championship. What was it like being there for this game under the current circumstances?
Yeah, it was crazy because I looked at Sarah at one point in time, my wife, and said, man, it's like we're at a game and it's a blowout and everybody's left. And It was a blowout. It was 52-24, about 28 points there in the fourth quarter. But it was different. I mean, it's still, I think, you know, everybody said, gosh, we're just blessed to be here, be a part of this, and to get the championship game underway and to go through a season like 2020 with COVID and all the mitigations that were going on and just everybody trying to work around it. I mean, kudos to all the, you know, the doctors, the trainers, everybody at Alabama that really helped them get to this point to where they could play for a national title and win number 18 for Alabama. So that was, it was fun to be there, be a part of it. And I think all the fans were appreciative that were there to be a part of it, as well as the ones at home that were still rooting as hard as they could and wish they could be there. But I hated it more, Amy, I think, for the media guys that had covered pretty much every championship for the last 20 or 30 years that didn't get media credentials, or fans that have attended, like, you know, so many Alabama games over, you know, decades and been at all these championships, weren't able to be there. So I felt for them in a big way. But it was a great night for Alabama. Nick Saban getting number 7, surpassing Coach Bryant's number 6. So a lot of great things to celebrate.
How much noise did the fans generate? Because on TV, we're not really sure how much is pumped in and how much is authentic.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of it was pumped in, even, you know, through the stadium. And but it was good. I mean, Alabama fans would get up, you know, at times when they needed to. Ohio State fans, you know, definitely outnumbered Alabama fans there. And they were loud when they needed to be. But a lot of them got very quiet very quickly as Alabama's offense continued to go up and down the field and score points kind of at will. I mean, really, without that turnover that they had with the fumble, you know, when Mack was being chased around and got sacked and fumbled the ball, I think really that was probably the, you know, the only time that they had a chance to really stop them in the game. This offense has just been really unbelievable throughout the year. The numbers they put up, the players, the character they've showed, and Sark did a tremendous job the time he spent at Alabama. So I've got a son that's there. It's in that quarterback room every day with all those guys. And, you know, he told me back in the summer, so we have a very special team, not just from a talent standpoint, which is pretty much every year for Saban, but really a closeness, a unity, and they really came together this year in a way that he had not seen in a long time and had not seen at Alabama since he had gotten there. I mean, there was a lot of great players, a lot of great, you know, team stuff and unity, but nothing like this year, and I think that's what carried them through a perfect season.
How does it compare being a quarterback for Alabama and winning a national championship and watching your son do the same thing? What are those emotions like?
It was great. I mean, you know, like he didn't play, so I wouldn't. I mean, if he'd been playing, I'd have been a wreck. I'd have been nervous as could be. I always tell people, I've got a quarterback at Alabama. I got a freshman quarterback at UAB. I've got a freshman, they're twins, freshman daughter that is at Georgia playing basketball. Actually going over to Knoxville tomorrow to watch her play Tennessee, and just so proud of all of them. And you know, all of our kids. We have Sarah and I have 7 together, so we stay very busy. So this weekend, a little getaway for us to go down to Miami, and we got there a few days earlier to be able to be together and be a part of this. But to see him on the sideline, to talk to him afterwards, hug his neck, and congratulate him, and you know, a big smile on his face, and he's now going to have a national championship ring like his dad.
Mm. Jay Barker played at the University of Alabama. He was a quarterback for the 92 national championship team, and he joins us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So I'd love to hear from your perspective as a QB. What makes DeVonta Smith special? What's the best part about his game?
His work ethic. Number one, I mean, he is a tremendous worker. I remember when Braxton first, that's my son, the quarterback at Alabama, got to Alabama, he said, you know, these receivers, they're all phenomenal. He said, but this one guy, DeVonta Smith, number 6, he goes, Dad, he's going to be special. I mean, he works harder than anybody. He's a tremendous leader. And at that time, I think DeVonta was a sophomore and, you know, just really a guy that works at his skills, at his craft, and really wants to be the very best every single day in practice. So, no surprise there. And as a quarterback, you love those guys to get out there and work, to push the other guys to be better. That's a great leader, not just as far as his performance and Heisman Trophy winner, but you know, really a leader in the locker room and on the field and keeping those guys being competitive all throughout the game. But it's just, you know, he's got great hands. Number one, works at that daily. He is a great route runner and really has, as he's talked about, because of the new strength and conditioning coaches that are there, has really increased his burst, his speed. And we saw that this year. I mean, he just ran by guys. even in the national championship game, some of the guys taking really bad angles on him and not realizing, because he's just so smooth in his approach. He just doesn't look like he's running as fast as he is. But the guy's just a tremendous player. He's going to have a great NFL career.
So it doesn't matter then at the next level that he is what he calls undersized. When he gave his Heisman speech, he talked about guys who are a little smaller, maybe not quite as strong, but that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter to a degree when he gets and understands the speed of the game, how he's got to get off the line of scrimmage and bump coverage, man-to-man. And, you know, and all of us know this, you know, when you leave college, just like you leave high school, you're going to gain weight because of age, because of the workouts, and he's going to get bigger. And hopefully, you know, won't lose any of that speed and quickness he's got off the line of scrimmage. But, you know, again, he's such a fighter, and he's always, you know, talked about being undersized all the way through since Little League, middle school, high school, and even in college. But, you know, he gets it done, and just had an amazing year. Maybe, you know, probably the best year that a receiver's had in Alabama history. And this offense and what Mac Jones and all those guys did, I mean, just an amazing 2020 season, a national championship, but a lot of recognition at the end. And I don't know if there's a more decorated team, especially on one side of the ball offensively, than Alabama was after the season, just all the awards that they won, and so much deserving for those guys. A lot of hard work put into it. Like we talked about earlier, a lot of circumstance with COVID-19 that they had to work through, but they got it done, and they won a championship. It's going to be fun to watch a lot of these guys in the next level.
Well, I'm glad you say that, because Mac Jones obviously elevated his draft stock, regardless of what happens in the spring. Having that performance on that stage catches a lot of eyes, and he was part of the Heisman too. So what are the parts of his game that you think will make him successful in the NFL?
Well, he's just a smart guy, number one. I think he's got 2 degrees already. And, you know, he's graduated early, got a second degree before he left. And I think the biggest thing about Mac Jones, I think, will impress a lot of the scouts is, you know, off the field, his study habits, what he does to prepare, and also because he's stuck around. You know, in today's time, you can transfer out if you're not getting game playing time, and everybody's trying to find that next fit for them. And he didn't. He stuck around and competed against Jalen Hurts and Tua, and really, I think, through that, became a better quarterback. And because of that, had the season that he had. He went off and got some individual training during that time when they really couldn't do a lot at school, and just kept working at it. And, you know, he's always been able to spin the football. But I think his biggest attribute is his decision-making. He's quick through his reads, makes great decisions, and he'll check it down if he needs to. He's not going to force balls down the field. And I think NFL teams, coaches, scouts, they all look at that and see that as a very positive thing for a guy like him, that if he was to be their quarterback, that they know he's going to put the work in, he's going to study, and he's going to make good decisions on the field.
Jay Barker, former University of Alabama quarterback who won a national championship in the early 90s. We're going to have you hang on real quick, and we're going to talk a little more about this pandemic and how it affected college football. Was it worth it? And also, is it harder to win a title? We had this debate on our show. Jay Barker hanging out with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Our team is showing a lot of maturity and perseverance throughout the season. I think you mentioned the fact that there have been a lot of disruptions, and I think we anticipated that early on when this all started back in March, and you know, told our players basically the team that shows the maturity to be able to handle disruptions is going to have the best chance to be successful in the end.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Wise words from a calm Nick Saban, despite winning his 7th national championship, which puts him on top of the list ahead of the great Bear Bryant. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Monday's game against Ohio State turned into a blowout. Enjoyable for Tide fans, of course, all over the country. One of those who was at the game not only as a former Alabama quarterback himself, but also the proud papa of a quarterback who's on the team now. Jay Barker spending a few minutes with us from Birmingham. So, Jay, we had this great debate on our show about whether or not it's more difficult or easier. I know those are simplistic terms, but more challenging or easier to win a national championship in the midst of a pandemic for all the various reasons. What do you think?
It's more challenging for those who don't have, I think, the mindset of a Nick Saban or a coaching staff that can really handle everything that's going to go through, you're going to go through during that season. How do you adjust? And that's one thing we talked about back in June and July on our radio show is that, and I've got Antonio Langham and Trent Richardson, Lars Anderson, who you've interviewed 20 plus years in Sports Illustrated, Bleacher Report, and Athletic. You know, all those guys have been around and have played the game, have been first round draft picks in the NFL. And, you know, the whole thing was Nick Saban will be able to mitigate this better than anybody. Mm. And that's going to give us an edge for 2020. And, you know, but what they accomplished by winning 10 SEC games, nobody's done that in a long time, at least, playing all conference. SEC, you know, if not the toughest, one of the toughest leagues in college football. And then to go on and play in the championship game, a playoff game, and then finally win the national championship. So they came into that game 12-0. Ohio State came in 7-0, and a lot of people didn't like that. They felt like that, you know, they didn't have the wear and tear, they weren't beat up. But you know, we looked at it from the other side, is that this team really grew up a lot as the year went on, especially on that defense side of the ball. It probably needed those 12 games to get ready for the national championship game and to play a team like Ohio State. I thought, just watching them, how they handled Clemson, but even throughout the year, that they deserved to be in that Final Four. It wasn't their fault that they weren't playing. It was their league and what they decided was best for their teams. And when they had a chance to play, they played and they won and they got to the championship game. So, you know, look, Alabama won big and I'm glad they did, but you know, I still think that was the four best teams. I probably would have personally not put Notre Dame in, probably would have put Texas A&M in, just because I think they played a tougher schedule. Notre Dame is a big time brand. And I think the world of Brian Kelly, met him a while back and just such a great guy and was so good to my family. And that's been years ago when he was nowhere near Notre Dame at that time. But it's been a crazy year, Amy. And I agree with you. I mean, the coaches that can mitigate that and had the people around them to help them do that are the ones that were successful this year.
We heard a lot about the players' mental health, being away from their families. And I'm not sure how often you got to see your son, but having to go through the various stretches where they were isolated or maybe even had to take the steps where they weren't part of what was happening on campus, any type of activities, if there were any, the constant testing, everything else that they had to navigate. So I ask you this, as someone who, you know, is connected personally, but also someone who played, why was it worth it to go through this season with everything that happened? Why would it be worth it?
Yeah, I think for the players, I mean, they put so much work into it, and a lot of guys that want to get to the next level, and they see this as something that they want to continue to pursue. And, you know, the biggest thing is, I think, just for them, again, competing. This is what they do. This is what they love. And it was tough. I mean, you know, you couldn't go to certain events, or you couldn't, you know, it weren't the normal kind of family get-together. I mean, we did the banquet online. It was a virtual banquet. Normally,
wow.
You know, the parents are together, and you're seeing your kids go up there and, you know, getting awards. And but they really did a good job handling that. And it is, you know, I thought the other postseason awards did a great job virtually trying to involve as many of the parents and people close to the players as well as their teammates. So, you know, that's one of the things you just kind of had to adjust. I'll be honest, my twins at UAB in Georgia, my daughter plays basketball at Georgia, my son's a quarterback at UAB, and it's probably tougher for them because they were expecting college life, right? You know,
right.
We're going to be able to hang out with our friends and, you know, people even that we don't play sports with, that we can go hang out and have, you know, different events and things that you do on, you know, college campus as a college student, and they didn't get that. And, you know, they were, you know, isolated at times, and, you know, nothing that I had to go through as a player, and nothing that, you know, my older son had to go through until this year. So he was a little bit more adapted to it. And, you know, again, it's been a crazy year, but they got through it. And hopefully we'll see the same for March Madness.
So I have some friends that have come through Alabama. I actually have a young woman that I mentor who just graduated from Tuscaloosa in the last few months. And they try to tell me that no one understands what it's like to be a fan of Alabama or another SEC school unless you've lived through it. All right, Jay, so lay it on me then. What is it about SEC football that makes you guys some super secret society?
there's slogan that says it means more, and it does. I mean, it's a you know, I hate to say religion, but it's one of those things that really connects people and also disconnects them. If you're an Alabama and Auburn fan, you got to make that decision right when you move to the state. I mean, that's probably the first question people are asked, not even where you're from, who are you for, is the first question. But it also makes it a lot of fun. And you know, it means so much to a lot of people that you want to go out there as a player, you want to represent the university well, you want to win, to give them the bragging rights, you want to win championships, which Alabama now at 18. And so the fans expect you to play your best and be your best and not only on the field, but off the field in the classroom. And it is, I mean, it's a different experience and everybody that's been a part of it. I mean, even Lars, who grew up in Nebraska, Big Ten guy, and he has been to a lot of different games. He's like, man, I've never seen the passion for football or for sports that I've seen since I've lived in Birmingham and in Alabama, and just seeing how people just, you know, it's just such a part of their lives. And probably that's the best way I could describe it. It's a huge part of their lives, who they are, what they root for. And, you know, we don't have pro sports in Alabama. So college is what it is. Alabama's the top of the chain, and the fans treat it like that.
Now, I love Bill Clark. I've spent time with him on his campus back when they were building their new facilities. Where does UAB fit in this whole equation?
Man, I tell you, Bill Clark has done a terrific job.
Yes.
And, you know, for them, three straight years winning the conference champ, you know, being a part of that and winning it this year. And I tell you, he is, you know, my son Harrison, who plays quarterback for him and thinks the world of him, talks, you know, many times about the talks that they have. It's not just about football, but about life. And that's who Bill Clark is. And I'm proud for my son to be able to play there, to be a part of that program. And yeah, that new stadium they're building is just unbelievable. It'll be finished and ready to go coming up this season. There's a lot of fear that we might lose Bill Clark during the offseason because of his success, but he's seeing it through. And I'm proud for him doing that. And I know a lot of the players were worried about that and are happy that Bill Clark's going to be at UAB as their head coach, and hopefully they'll continue their success. But they fit in well. I mean, Birmingham has embraced them. I think going through the shutdown was a big big deal, and I think it brought a lot of people's attention to the program, as well as you know, people supporting it in a way maybe they didn't before.
How much longer does Nick Saban stay at Alabama? I've heard this debate now for a couple of years, but, I mean, he looks like he's getting younger to me.
He does. He's 69 years old. I mean, he looks like he's in his, you know, early 50s. He's got a ton of energy. If you watch him at practice, even after the hip surgery and all the things that he's, you know, been through, he's out there throwing the ball around. He's practicing and getting those DBs ready for the games. And he's fun to watch. And I think he's inspiring to a lot of people that, you know, I really think he'll be around for five more, maybe more years at Alabama. I mean, they were talking, he'll just be around 3 or 4 years. He left Miami, left LSU. He's going to leave Alabama. I'm like, no, this is a destination place. And really what drew, I really think when he solidly put roots in the ground was, you know, the tornadoes that came through and that really destroyed a lot of Tuscaloosa, a lot of the state of Alabama. And Coach Saban and Miss Terry, they went out into the community. They did a lot of work and donated a ton of money. And I think at that point in time, and with their kids, you know, Coach Saban's mom living in Birmingham, and now his kids in Birmingham, they're so connected to the university. And, you know, I always tell people, Alabama's fan base is the best. I think they have great support. They have great financial support. When you can take that and put it with a Nick Saban or a Coach Bryant, then you get the perfect storm and you win championships. And that's what's happened.
Well, and now number 7, which puts him even ahead of the great Bear Bryant. Jay Barker was there at Alabama in 92 when they won a national championship, also inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. And the Jay Barker Show with Lars Anderson and company is available daily on the Jay Barker Radio Network. I mean, that's what happens when you're an Alabama quarterback, right? You get your own radio network named after you.
it happens. And, you know, it's one of those things that you know, you come out and you just don't want to get away from it, you know, and I mean, I have other businesses, other things that I do that I've been a part of for many years, but I always want to stay connected. And, you know, as you know, Amy, I mean, talking to the athletes and staying close to coaches and players, I think the hard thing now is I used to, you know, when I started out, I was my late 20s, early 30s and, you know, started out in radio. And now, you know, almost 20 years later that all these guys are my age now. I mean, Dabo was my receiver at Alabama. Now he's the head coach making $9 million a year. I'm like, I got into the wrong business. But so proud of him and all that he's accomplished as well. But it's been a lot of fun. And I always tell people I could never give back to Alabama what it's given me.
You can find Jay on Twitter at JayBarker7. It's great to catch up with you, especially after a whirlwind few days. Thank you so much.
Amy, thank you. And thanks for the opportunity to be on. And much success. Continue.
It's funny that he said that. I didn't realize that he actually had Dabo on his roster when he was the quarterback. He played in the early 90s, but until Monday night, he was the only other Alabama quarterback who had ever beaten Ohio State. And they don't play every year, of course, but Pretty cool to talk to Jay, and especially now that he's a proud papa with a son who is part of that national championship team. And I had to make sure that I talked about University of Alabama, Birmingham, because that school, that campus, the football coach, Bill Clark, who's been on the show numerous times, their story, what they've gone through, that will always hold a special place in my heart. I've been treated very well in Birmingham, and that includes our listening audience on Jocks Radio 94.5, I believe it is there, and I've done some shows there too. So really cool to talk to Jay, and I know a lot of you who are college football fans, Bama fans, enjoy hearing from him too. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS. As I mentioned, coming up to wrap the work week, we'll do a full-on football free-for-all, and we'll preview divisional weekend, and we'll take all your calls about these four games we've got coming up. And this weekend is it. I mean, we'll be down to just three games and two teams in the NFL after this. Three games, four teams, two opportunities, one from each conference to get to the Super Bowl. See, I'm already getting nervous about it, starting to jip myself out of games. So this weekend, the NFL playoffs continue on CBS. Of course, the AFC down to the Chiefs, the Browns, the Ravens, the Bills. The Bills fans hoping for some snow this weekend because Lamar does not want to play in snow. Maybe that negates some of his speed. We shall see. Of course, the defending champion Chiefs are still the team to beat till somebody dethrones them. Kansas City is the stop that you got to make on your road to Super Bowl 55. But who will end up in the AFC Championship? We'll find out this weekend during the divisional round as it plays out on CBS. 855-212-4227. And then on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you want to cast your last votes for TD of the week, you can do that. We'll do the big reveal coming up next hour. We threw in kind of a wrinkle there. So three NFL touchdowns and one from the national championship. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we're asking you, what's your reaction to the James Harden trade from Houston to Brooklyn? I find it harder and harder to get excited about the NBA, and it's mostly because of the style of play. But these big trades are another reason why. It's the NBA where everybody plays with his BFF, and it annoys me. And also, I don't like how James Harden forced Houston's hand. The Rockets were willing to wait. They had him under contract. They weren't going to trade him until he skipped out on camp, showed up out of shape, broke protocols, and also alienated his current teammates. That's how you get what you want.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.